Welcome to Seek Reality with your host, Roberta Grimes. Author and attorney Roberta Grimes will explore and illustrate how she, after an extraordinary experience of light in childhood, has discovered channels of communication to the afterlife and how these implications have an effect on our everyday lives. Please welcome the host of Seek Reality, Roberta Grimes.
Welcome, dear friends. This is Seek Reality, as you know who I am, and I am really thrilled that you're about to be with us today because we have something unusual to talk about. As I have, I think, said repeatedly, when I was beginning to do serious afterlife research way back in the 70s, I began by reading hundreds of communications received through deep trance mediums from people that we used to think were dead. These were all received in the first 15 or 20 years after the century turned. Some of these were really amazing stories, and I learned so much, but one especially has stuck in my mind through all the decades since, and it's really relevant to today's topic. One of the things that people enjoy doing soon after they graduate home is that they travel, because all the afterlives of all the civilizations that ever existed exist in the afterlife. And one of the most sort of the happiest ones that people go to, it's like the popular stop on the tour, is the Plains Indian Native American afterlife, full of bison from the one horizon to another horizon. A lot of people like to go there. And one fellow who communicated went, and he was telling the story of his experience. He was talking with a Native American man, and he said, suddenly the sky opened up, and a very advanced being walked out of the sky with a woman in his arms. And without looking at us or talking to us, he walked into, a little the teepee or whatever was there, and came out without her, and he went right back into the sky, and the hole closed. And so this fellow looked at the Native American he was talking to. He said, "What the heck was that?" And the man said, "Whenever people are very damaged on Earth and they can't help them, they bring them to us here just that way. And then after we have healed them and made them well, they come and take them away the same way." That story stuck in my mind forevermore. And when later on I started hearing people saying, and these are people not in bodies, that some of the most spiritual people who ever existed were Native Americans before the white people came here, I'm not surprised at all. So what we're going to do today is talk about something that I would have had a lot of trouble finding a guest to do, but I met Adelaide Wolfe at the symposium, and she and I started talking. That just was over in September. She and I started talking, and she's perfect for this. Adelaide Wolfe is an entertainment industry veteran and filmmaker who was with us actually a couple of months ago to talk about her upcoming documentary, which is called Medium Rare. She is an enrolled member of the Omaha tribe. And when we spoke, we started talking about, could you talk about this topic? And she said something which I only ever hear from people who are extremely elevated in their spiritual development. She said, "I'd love to, but there's someone who knows more than I do, and may I please bring him?" So we have also with us today Professor Hanay Gigama. He's a member of the Kiowa tribe who also has really extensive credits in filmmaking, and he's a tenured member of the faculty of the Department of Theater at the UCLA School of Theater. He and Adelaide work very hard to help people understand the Native American culture, which is almost gone, and thanks to them, it's not gone at all. We are so happy to have the two of you with us. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Now, Hanay, would you please tell us a little bit about why you are so interested in the topic of Native American spirituality?
Well, I work in the theater by choice. I didn't start out in the theater. I started out trying to be a writer, and then I expanded my writing to include film and theater and television. And as I got into the theater, and understanding the theater and understanding the creative processes of the theater, I realized how potent a communications force it was, and started concentrating on creating messages and ideas and thoughts for that medium, for the medium of theater. And in doing that, I realized how spiritual, how much the ideas and the feelings and the emotions and the memories that could pass through your creative mind are actually spiritualized, that are actually part of the essence of life and the essence of your thinking, the essence of your relationships with other people. And so it just has grown from that.
So basically, this is what you grew up with, and you came to realize that this is inherent in all people, and it's something that you needed to expand upon, that kind of thing?
Yes, and when I was younger, Roberta, I lived in Oklahoma in more of a Christianized kind of cultural context, religious context, because that was the norm then. In the 1950s, 1960s, the Christianity still had a stronger effect on our people's minds.
I'm here with two wonderful experts on what I think may be the earliest really true spirituality that there ever has been. And that was the spirituality of the Native Americans, amazingly. I know that will surprise you, but it really doesn't surprise me. So tell us, Adelaide, do you have a story like that too? Did you sort of go away from it and come back?
I was raised traditional. My father was in the boarding schools, taken off the reservation and put into boarding schools, Indian boarding schools. And I'm sure everybody kind of knows the stories behind that of what happened to a lot of the Native Americans in the boarding schools. They tried to break him of his Native American culture and traditions and ceremonies, but he did not let them break him. So when I came around, he ended up, I was raised traditional. I was always raised traditional within the house.
Great.
So my tradition and cultures have always been part of me. The only time that I questioned anything was after my son transitioned in 2015, and for a short period, I just didn't believe in anything, because it was just, I mean,
yes.
you have so much belief and so much that the Creator and the Great Spirit will come to can do something, and that, you know, your guides and your ancestors can be there. And when that didn't happen, it just put a damper on me for, you know, and so I had to turn around and I had to find my way back.
Oh,
that was
wow.
The only time I ever questioned anything.
Well, I love that you know, in a way, perhaps having to do that may have brought you a deeper understanding of your spirituality. But what a terrible way to sort of wake up to that when you have lost your child. But I think what you're doing with that, though, is wonderful. That it really, your whole life seems to be now devoted to helping people to understand where he is. And I'm looking forward to your documentary. So please tell us, what do Native peoples believe, the people who were here before Columbus? What do they believe?
And then you want to take that one?
Me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We have some basic things that I think are shared by most tribes, not every tribe, but there are 560 tribes in America, but most of them share these basic sort of notions that we are related to every living thing in the world, animals, spirits. We are related to everything in the universe. There's a unity of existence. I think all tribes believe that. And practice that. We believe in the strength of the family, the clan, the tribe. That's a very important. It's a social unit, but we believe it. If that's part of our spiritual strength, our religious strength, we believe in the responsibilities of life. What you are required to do, what you're expected to do, behavior, respect, contributions, work. Commitment. We believe in the omnipresence of spiritual power, not necessarily in the omniscience and the omnipotence of power in the Christian view, but in the omnipresence that the spiritual realities and powers are everywhere in everything. So it's a kind of a unity of existence that informs our larger worldviews.
Wow, that's beautiful. Do you believe in a God entity? You talk about the Great Spirit. How does that relate to what people think of as God?
For me personally, I believe that the Great Spirit is also God. I believe that God is also the Great Spirit, but I don't believe that the God that, as I refer to God, is the God that's depicted in art, the Christian God that is painted beautifully by Michelangelo and all those people.
Yes,
I believe that the Great Spirit looks like maybe my grandfather or one of my uncles or a senior member of our tribe that personified. That's what the Great Spirit to me would look like. It's a kind, gentle, benevolent, caring person that does not punish us, threaten us, does not oversee us in a negative way, that's there to support us and guide us.
I'm sure all over the place, in every car where people are driving listening to this, everybody is sighing now and thinking what it was we've lost. Because what you are talking about is much closer to what the dead, or those we used to think were dead, tell us. We come to think God never, in fact, they insist that God never takes a body. But yeah, if he took a body, I'd rather have it look like your grandfather, I have to say. Mm-hmm. Now, ceremony is very big among Native Americans, and it has a spiritual significance. Can we talk a little about that?
Well, ceremony is the basic structure of all aspects of life. Ceremony is like an architect's the structure, the framework of everything, and ceremony is an event. And life is a large event. The largest event is our life. The largest event is the ongoing existence of the world and humankind. That is a ceremony in and of itself. And we are part of that ceremony. And the things that we do to establish our presence and to maintain our presence and our harmony and our safety and security and happiness within that larger framework are ceremonies. And ceremonies can last a moment. They can last 15 minutes. They can last an hour. They can last an afternoon, a day, a situational creation of something that will commemorate something that tries to illuminate, educate, and explore and understand and experience the reality in life. That's a ceremony, and we're all involved in ceremonies continually throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout the years.
So basically, what you're saying is that Native Americans are aware of that ceremonial aspect of the things they're doing, whereas we may not be aware of it. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. I believe, I've come to believe, that American Indians are connected with a ceremonial. We are connected to our tribes and to our families and to the universe and to the life force ceremonially. Our drums are the sound, the force, the rhythm, the energy that connects us to that. It helps us to sort of dial into the source of the mystery of life, the power of life, the strength of life, and it keeps us attuned. And if we maintain those connections, and they have to be maintained, but they don't just happen to us because we want them to happen. We have to work for it and make it happen. If we maintain them, then we can achieve happiness. We can achieve safety. We can achieve prosperity. We can achieve good things if we are connected properly, ceremonially, to the core thing that animates life itself.
Wow. And you say that creativity is actually a spiritual enterprise. So you're a very creative man, and I know, Adelaide, you're very creative in your own work, but that's spiritual to you, right? Spirituality infuses it. Addie, talk about that.
I believe spirituality is part of it, and it's a free gift that was given to us. He can go into that more, but no matter what we do, we put our intention out there, and we turn around, and the universe and the spirituality that we're under turns around and gives it back to us. We put the intention out there, and how you want to say that is it the universe or spirit comes and helps,
yes,
guides us.
Yes, that's so true. See, that's what I love about what you're saying. I can relate separately just from my own research and from the people that we've had here to talk about spirituality, the genuine spirituality. You are much closer to it than any modern religion is. So I get it. I think this is exciting to hear.
And we quiet ourselves. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Hene.
Go ahead, Hene.
When I was young, again, going back to my youth, spirituality to me, I was filtered to the Christian mindset, and so spirituality meant being in church, being reverent, being holy, the spirits of the Great Spirit, Jesus, all of that somehow combined to a identification of something spirituality. As I have grown older and tried to understand life and explored life and studied life, I have come to now think that spirituality is not necessarily something that is human or that is in a person. Spirituality is our thoughts. Spirituality is our feelings, our emotions, yep. Our concerns, our needs that we articulate and express in ceremony, through songs, through oration, through verbally. Through dance, spirituality is not necessarily the physical substance.
You are so right. I just love this to pieces. Spirituality is everything we are.
Everything.
The one place there really isn't spirituality, ironically, is in Christian churches, because they're not following Jesus. Jesus was the essence of spirituality in his teachings. He would much better like what you talk about than what Christians talk about, which is so ironic. But yeah, thank you. This is beautiful. What do you want people most to know about Native American thinking? What resonates with you most from this life you're living now? What does it do for you?
Gary, go ahead.
Oh no, go ahead, Hene.
The longer I live in the world, and the longer I experience the blessing of life, the humbler I want to be, the simpler I want to be, the less I want to have, and a lot of people have expressed that in different philosophies and different approaches to life and lifestyles. But I think that aesthetic aspiration is a reality. You find peace, you find fulfillment, you find a reason in your life in other people, in helping other people and doing for other people, and knowing that you're doing that, knowing that you're fulfilling the responsibilities that you have, that your tribe expects for you, that the world expects for you, that the Creator expects for you. If you know that you're doing these things, and you know that you're making the effort to do these things, and that you actually are achieving some of them, that's the blessing in life. That's what life is. And this does not occur in having tons of money or mansions or cars or wealth. The wealth is in the happiness of being able to take care of your family, being able to take care of to honor the memories of your relatives who passed on, to have that peaceful balance that you with life, enjoy the beauty of the sunset and to look at the moon and connect to everything that's connected. That if you can get to that, this, I'm not talking about nirvana, I'm talking about the reality, the physical reality of the life that we're in, then I think that you've lived your life pretty much along the right kind of lines, right kind of way.
This is, to me, a wonderful thing. I didn't know what they were going to say to you today. We didn't practice anything, but I only knew from that story that I read of something that happened in the afterlife, you know, more than 100 years ago now. I only knew from that and from other things I've seen here and there that Native American spirituality really is extraordinary, and it's much, much closer to what, frankly, what reality is and what the people who we used to think were dead tell us is true. So this is beautiful. I'm so glad you're both with us. Now, but Adelaide, you said at one point to me that spirituality should be free, and people who are not Native American are usurping it and charging for it. You were pretty outraged. Talk about that.
I think that's one thing. I think that I wish people would open their minds up to and really research it. if you look more and more, non-natives have borrowed, taken a lot of our ceremonies,
yes,
our traditions, our beliefs, and they have cultivated it and made it under their own, but still under the title of Native American cultures and traditions. Yet they have not done the research, and they really do not know what the intentions are, the purposes are, the respect that goes into it and that we believe and that we're born with, of, I mean, our whole life between the tribe and our family and our clans, but yet they are out there and they are commercializing it. And with the commercializing it, they're also putting a price tag on it. I believe Hanay said it best when we were talking one day, and, you know, he said, you know, our tribal ancestors didn't pay for the blessings of spirituality. You know, why should we?
He's right. No, he's right. And what I would think, too, is they probably then are looking at form. You know, this is the way to do the dance, or this is the way to say the prayer, and not at the spirituality behind it, if they have such little understanding.
Right.
Is that
exactly
true?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. They put the cart before the horse, and not because they don't know, it's just because instinctively they do that. You know, what Addie was saying reminded me when I was being introduced to my tribe's tribal religion, its traditional tribal religion, the priest, the person that was in charge of that, the medicine person, a wonderful senior in our tribe, he was very happy to meet me because he knew that I was from one of the grandmother families in our tribe. And so I got to know him, you know, I felt, you know, he's doing so much for me. I really need to, I need to compensate him. I need to give him something. I need to do something to pay him, to show him how much I appreciate what he's doing for me and teaching me. And I didn't have money. I was young and I was in college and I was, you know, I just didn't have money, but instinctively, I knew that wasn't the right thing to do. What I found out that the way that you compensate a person like that in tribal tradition, you take them, say, 5 pounds of a nice roast from the store, take them some nice meat, take them some packages of cigarettes or Bull Durham tobacco to roll cigarettes. You take him maybe a bottle of Menin shaving lotion for himself, or put on himself, and that's all he wanted. He didn't even expect that, but that was respectful, proper compensation, not money, not horses, not, you know, things of wealth, but just a personal expression of gratitude. That showed that you cared, and that your communication with him meant something to you, and that to me, I've kept that. You know, so if you want something, if you want to reward somebody for helping you, you do it simply and humbly. It doesn't have to be some lavish gift, or you don't certainly don't buy it, you know, you don't purchase it at all.
Yeah. That is so many of the things that you said resonated with me. What's a grandmother tribe? What did you call that? You're from a grandmother family. Is that it? What was that all about?
The Kiowa tribe, our tribal religion is called the grandmothers. There were 10 medicine bundles, and together they were collectively referred to as the grandmothers. So the grandmothers were a collection of medicine bundles, and 10 different families kept the bundles. And my grandfather was actually had one of the bundles, was one of the families that had the bundles, and they were hereditary. And my grandfather, when he was alive, he was the actual keeper. He maintained care and the well-being of all the bundles. So he was like the kind of central person in the tribal religion. But then they were Christianized. This was in the 1900s, 1910s. And
yeah,
my grandfather was Christianized. And then my father, my uncle were and aunts were Christianized. And they were really Christianized. So that stopped that. And we weren't able to get that fully revived in our family until starting in the late 1950s and 1960s. It took that long to get that reactivated back into our family and our beliefs and our religion.
Oh, my goodness. But that, you know, this, it really, it's such a tragedy. I mean, so much the earliest Europeans, just always assumed what they had was better, but it truly, in this case, was not. Where spirituality is concerned, they were in the Dark Ages, and you were the enlightened ones. So, Adelaide, why do you think that people will do this for money, will try to usurp your beliefs? Do you have any ideas? And teach them and pay charge for them.
I think it basically boils down to commercialism, and it's a way of making a quick buck for a lot of them. Unfortunately, I think that is it. They sit there and they see, and again, as we're talking, that a lot of people feel that Native Americans have a base foundation root from the time we enter Earth, that we have that spirituality within us, that we are connected to Mother Earth, you know, we are connected to the animals, the plants, because we feel all of them are a part of the universe. We are a part of them. They are a part of us. Even, you know, whether you want them to call it the Creator, the Great Spirit, Wakanda, or God, God is in within all of us. God is in with all the animals, all the plants, every living being. And with that, that is our base foundation belief. That is the... I think they see that and they think Native Americans have that base root and people like that, and they start taking from it, and they see that they can commercialize it and they can make money off of it.
So they think somehow they're going to usurp what you have without understanding what it is, and because it seems to what people want. Yeah, that is probably exactly right, Ed. That is pretty tragic, I must say.
And what's really sad about that is that they only do it just for, it's like a very short-lived kind of thing. Well, if you go into a sweat lodge, you'll be for about 30 minutes or 40 minutes, 50 minutes after you come out, you'll feel nice and happy. But then that goes away, and then what do you do? So what they don't understand is that things like what we're doing now, Roberta, sharing this with you and talking about it, if people would invest an hour of their time, 2 hours of their time a week to understand the kinds of things we're talking about, it's not that inaccessible, it's not that difficult to gain knowledge of and to become aware of. If they would do that kind of thing, they would see that they don't have to buy these things. These things are there for them to adapt.
It's for free. Yes.
For free, exactly. And it's not, there's no superiority, we're not better than anybody. You know, all this is available to everybody in the world if they just would make the effort, take the time to understand it, to incorporate it into your mind, into your heart. It doesn't take that long, but the world moves so fast today that people just don't have time to do that. So they think that they can purchase it, they think that they can buy prayers and, you know, buy blessings and things like that, and buy knowledge, spiritual knowledge. And I think it's a sad aspect of contemporary life.
I think you're totally right. Spirituality is not mechanical. There are no shortcuts. It is a way of life. And if someone lives it their whole life, they get to be where you are, Hene. That's how they think. That's how they feel. And there's happiness at that level, which is unlike any other happiness on earth. To be truly spiritually advanced makes you the happiest you can possibly be. And what's wonderful about this is all of us who are researching the afterlife and the greater reality, and in my case specifically, the teachings of Jesus and the fact that he didn't come to start a religion at all, he even said so. All of it's converging. We and you and all these people who are trying to find the truth are finding the same truth. There is one truth, and that truth is what your people have been living for, 1,000 years or something. This is just wonderful. I'm so happy that we're talking about this. Let's talk a little bit. We have a few minutes just in this segment, then we'll go into the next. Let's talk about how Native Americans view the afterlife.
Okay. That one.
The afterlife is actually just a cool extension of the life that we're in now. It's not an end end aspect. It's not the finish. It's not the end. It's moving on to the next spiritual level of existence. And it has its own beauties. It has its own realities. It has its own rhythms and energies. And it's just right next to us. I think of my sisters that have passed on. I think of my mother and father, almost as if they're just right on the other side of the air to me. They're there, and they speak to me in their gentle voices, and they guide me and they help me, and they're instinctively in me. So I don't think of them as being gone, or done, or ended, or over. They're still there. They're just not right here immediately. But they have continued on in the beautiful power of life in the universe, and we have access to that, and it's actually a very positive and good part of the larger experience of life, the afterlife.
So when people are making their transitions, you have ceremonies and things. You don't weep at the bedside. You know they're going to stay with you. They just won't have their bodies. How do people handle that in the Native American tradition?
We have Native Americans, because of the influences of Christianity, particularly throughout the first half of the 20th century, we adopted a lot of the eschatological practices of Christianity. We bury our people in caskets, and we do this, we have funeral services, Christian funeral services. A lot of Indian funerals now still include mixtures of Christian elements in the ceremony, but now more than 20 years ago, 30 years ago, now they are mixtures of both traditional and Christian. And because the Christian realities, they haven't just completely gone away. A lot of it's still there, but respectfully, they are blended with traditional prayers, traditional songs, traditional orations of respect. And that, I think, is for me, that I'm very, very happy that has happened. In order to try to communicate this and share this with as many people as we can, as we said earlier, I work in the theater, and I've worked in Native American theater, films and television and theater, live theater. I'm the founding artistic director of the American Indian Dance Theater, and we have a production company called Rainy Mountain Entertainment, and we put together a spectacle show for the live theater called Ceremonies of Mother Earth, A Healing. It addresses the ecological crisis that all of us on this planet are now facing, the destruction of our environment, the possible death of our planet. And it approaches this, it theatricalizes and dramatizes this through Native American dance, Native American music, Native American performance, Native American ceremony and performance, and spirituality. And as an example of this, the piece is created to show how the destructive forces attacking our environment can be confronted and combated with the use of song, the power of song, collective song, the powers of our drums, the powers of our faith together as a group, as a unit, as a tribe, the powers of our beliefs and our commitments. And these are all dramatized to show how these strengths, these abilities of human beings as personified in Native Americans can be put to use in combating the crisis of the environment, to save our world, to protect our world, to heal our world, and then revive it and maintain it healthily and properly. So this new show, Ceremony for Mother Earth, by Healing, it will communicate all of this to audiences, hopefully around the country and around the world. It's in pre-production now.
It's in pre-production. Wow. So how would people learn more about that? Does it have a website?
Yes, there's a website. There's a website, AmericanIndianDance.org has it. And there's a website for Ceremony for Mother Earth. Go ahead, Ali. Yes.
Oh, no, and then I was going to say they could also go to contact us directly is at RainyMountainEntertainment.com.
Yes.
RainyMountainEntertainment.com. Okay.
Yep.
Wow. So you are deep in spreading this message then, and I just love it. I mean, you're doing it in a popular American way, so people will go and listen and learn. That will be fabulous. How would people contact you if they want to know more? Do you have personal websites?
Well, what we do is they can contact our email to contact Tanae, myself, or even Kim. Is the email is rainymountainent@gmail.com.
E, is it E-M as in Michael T or E-N as in Nancy?
E-N-T, yeah, E as in elephant, N as in Nancy, T as in Tom. It's a short
entertainment.
Rainy Mountain. It was too long to put it out.
Right. So it's RainyMountainEntertainment.com, and that's how people can reach you.
Right. Okay. And then they'll go there, and then our email to get a hold of us is RainyMountainEnt@gmail.com.
Okay. Well, I think it's very important for Americans to develop a certain amount of humility about our history, because although we didn't participate in some of the horrendous things that were done by Europeans 100, 200, 300 years ago, still, you know, we inherit what they did as what we need to deal with. And I'm hoping that one of the things that we'll start to do is pay much more attention to the value of what Native Americans accomplished and the value of their lives were actually very advanced. They don't look advanced to primitive Europeans who come arrive in, you know, 1701, but they were very advanced and in quite a beautiful way of life and tremendous health too. I think that's another thing that people don't understand. Native peoples like had perfect teeth without a dentist and very, very healthy bodies.
No cancer, no diabetes, none of that, because we had the diets and the lifestyles that promoted that. You know, the spirituality, everybody alive has spirituality in them, and it's
yes.
Working even now, even in everybody. It's your thoughts, it's your hopes, it's your dreams, it's your prayers. That's your spirituality, and the more that you activate that, the more that you support that and respect that and make it something good in your life and for you and other people. That then you are increasing your spirituality in your life, and that this is it's not at all difficult for people to do.
No, that's a very good point.
I think it's service. You know, it is, as Hanae said, it's service. You go out to help others as well. That's part of the intent, and you do it from the goodness of your heart to turn around and help others, and not expect anything in return for it.
I think that it's very important people understand this point you're making, which is religion is all about form. You say the prayer, you know, you got to go there at a certain time, you do this, you do that, you give money. It's all form. It doesn't touch you inside. All of this spirituality that we're beginning to practice now with the teachings of Jesus and also probably fundamentally the Native American spirituality is all about transforming you inside. And that's what we're here to do. That is the reason that the dead tell us that's why we come. We come to grow spiritually. And I would think it's probably the most efficient thing that one could do to grow spiritually would be to learn more about these Native American traditions and practices and beliefs. So it's wonderful that the two of you are doing this for all of us, that you're giving your time and your talents to preserving what was almost lost.
I would say back to you, just meeting you here on this interview and listening to the wonderful things you said. I said the same thing back to you. Thank you so much for being a communicator of these things and for articulating them in a nice, clear, respectful, positive way that you've done so. I really think it's wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Bless you, dear. I think we have wonderful things we're going to do together. I'm looking forward to that. And it's been so good of you both to be here. We will have to do this again. I'm sure people are going to ask for it and talk even more about the true spirituality that Native Americans had and have almost lost, but now it's coming back again, and it's frankly the same spirituality that Jesus has taught. So this is very exciting. Please consider yourselves both hugged, and we will talk again really soon.
Thank you so much, Roberta. A big hug to you, too. Thank you. And a hug to all listening.
That's true. We group hug, everybody, quickly. Okay. That's done. Thank you so much. Everyone, you know, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes, and I'm so glad you could join us. This has been so spectacular. Never forget that you are a powerful, eternal being. You never began. You never will end. And when you really get what that means, it's really going to change everything in your life for the better. Next week, our guest will be Joyce Stewart. Joyce is a counselor and healer. She's been here once before, and she's come back because I have been trying to figure out how to share with you what was really one of the most formative things I ever did spiritually, and that is A Course in Miracles. I have not found a good Course in Miracles teacher until Joyce started to send me her emails that she sends to everyone, and I thought, wow, she's the one to make this work. So she's going to join us next week, and we're going to talk about A Course in Miracles, getting down to the basics of it, helping you understand how it can help you, and helping you figure out how to get started with it. She does a wonderful job of making this beautiful and essential work of wisdom accessible to regular people, and I think you're going to love this, so please join us. Of course, our guests this week have been Hene Gigama. Sorry, it's spelled differently than it's pronounced. And my friend Adelaide Wolf. And this, it really saddens me, and I'll bet it saddens you to realize that when the first Europeans settled here, they replaced the more advanced native teachings with, frankly, the off-track, fear-based teachings of Christianity. What was lost then is being restored now, and wonderfully, we are all coming together because what they believed, we are coming to understand, is true. We say it in a slightly different way, but it's all at its core the same concept. So you're going to see over the next 20, 30 years all these true spiritualities coming together into one truth, a universal truth that we all can espouse. As you know, my nonfiction books are Liberating Jesus, My Thomas, The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, The Fun of Growing Forever, The Fun of Living Together, and for young children now, The Fun of Meeting Jesus. If you'd like to talk about any of my books or just talk to me at all, don't hesitate to go to robertagrimes.com and contact me through the contact block. I do answer emails. It takes a little longer than a day, though. It used to be something I could do right away. Past episodes of Seek Reality are available on webtalkradio.net, on iTunes, through the Seek Reality app that you can find for free on the iTunes store, and also at Dream Vision 7 Radio, where they broadcast our older episodes. If you enjoy listening, and you want to find another place to hear Seek Reality, just go to the radio tab at robertagrimes.com. Meanwhile, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being, and you are infinitely loved.